And your radios are tuned in to W272BA, 102.3 FM and 91.5 FM WMIE.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for joining us here on the Refresh radio program. My name is Bob Arthurs, and I pastor Merritt Assembly of God. We want to start off today by saying happy birthday to Greg at Jits Concrete. Jits Concrete are our go-to resource for all things concrete, and I never have a hard time remembering his birthday because it's next-door neighbor to mine. And hope you are having a great, great day. If you've got a concrete job that you've got coming up in the near future, you might want to consider Jits Concrete. Check with them. They have decades and decades of experience, and it's good experience. They have expertise. They know what they're doing, and they have a great work ethic from beginning to end, whether it is coming out and evaluating the job, doing the arrangement for the delivery of the materials, doing the job site prep, the installation, the finishing, the cleanup, and the getting out of the way. They really, really do a great job. 321-536-5804 is the way to get in touch with Jits Concrete. They may be just the resource you are looking for. Today we're going to the sixth chapter of the Gospel of Luke, and we are going to be looking at verse number 27 and go on down to verse number 35. We've been looking in the past couple of days in Matthew chapter 24 about what tactics the enemy would use to try and get the love of believers to grow cold. Unfortunately, he will be successful in many occasions. We don't want him to be successful with us. Today, we're going to be looking at that the standard of love that believers are called by God to is higher, exponentially higher, than that of the world. So, Luke 6, verse number 27 says, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you. To him who strikes you on the one cheek, offer the other also. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who asks of you, and from him who takes away of your goods, do not ask them back. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. But love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. For he is kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful." So, give me just a second there. I wanted to jot a little note to myself. So, Jesus said that we needed to pay attention to what he was saying here. He says, love your enemies. He goes on in this passage and he describes how sinners love sinners. They love people who are not creating problems for them. Now, I would say that relationships with people who are living contrary to what God expects, I would say that those relationships are extremely fragile. That dynamic works unless someone changes, and then all of a sudden there's some tension, there's some strife, there's things of that nature. Here, Jesus says love, and this is agape type love. It's unconditional love. He says, love your enemies. And so, like I always do, I look to make sure that I'm not overlooking anything. Whenever I think of the word enemy, I think of someone who says, hey, I want to destroy you, things like that. So when I look at this word, it means those who are hostile, those who are antagonistic towards us. The lexicon describes that death is the last enemy. Hallelujah, that God has conquered death, hell, and the grave, and so that's already a defeated enemy. But this one phrase that was in the lexicon was something that got my attention, because you may have some enemies who are trying to do harm to you spiritually. It says an enemy is one who desires to thwart God's plan. Okay? So God's plan is for that person to have a demonstrable presentation of what it's like to be loved by God. There's probably no better example of that I can think of than the Apostle Paul. He was violently hostile against believers. He was terrorizing believers. People were abandoning their jobs, their communities. They were abandoning their families and migrating to other parts of the region because of the oppressive tactics of Saul. And then as he was on an assignment to go and arrest believers in Damascus, he had an encounter with God on the road. It left him unable to see. He needed help to navigate. He heard things from God. He did not realize that he was fighting against God. Many people think that they are fighting for God when actually they're doing the enemy's bidding. They're doing the enemy's business. And so one of the names of Satan is he's the accuser of the brethren. We don't need to be doing the enemy's job for him. It breaks my heart whenever there is ungodliness in the body of Christ. But as Julie West wrote in her book about exiting Egypt, believers, we have always been given the assignment of bringing healing to a broken world. Jesus is the only one who can atone for sins, but he strategically places believers to make life better spiritually for those that they come in contact with. And so Paul found himself as an enemy of God, and you know, the scripture is true, God is for us. But sometimes the fact that he is for us means he's got to stand in our way if we are on a destructive path. So the only way that he can be for our best interest is to get us off the path that leads to destruction and get us back on the path that leads to life. So Paul has persecuted. He was there consenting to the death of Stephen. And he now he finds himself in a compromised position physically, and he doesn't really know what he's supposed to do now. And in walks a guy by the name of Ananias. Ananias had been praying, and God said, Ananias, I want you to go and minister to this guy named Saul, because he's a chosen vessel for me. And Ananias' original response was, God, I don't know if you know everything about Saul, but he's persecuting church. He's killing Christians. He is very hostile towards people of faith. And God said, I want you to go, and I have told him you're coming, and you're going to bring healing to him. And here's what I love. Ananias walks in to where Saul is at, and this is what he says, Brother Saul, God has sent me here to you. And he prays for him, and Saul receives his sight. Ananias went from being reluctant to go and minister to Saul to going and identifying with him as a brother in the faith, ministering to him and helping him on his way. There was another guy who they called him Barnabas. He was known as the son of encouragement. By the way, that's not what his name means. I think his name was Joseph before they called him Barnabas. They called him Barnabas because he was such an encourager of the brethren. And Barnabas, when he was getting ready to launch into this area of ministry where the gospel was being preached for the first time, and great things started happening, he said, I know just the person that I need to get for this assignment. And it was Saul who became the Apostle Paul. Much of the New Testament that we have in our hands as the written gospel comes because there were believers who loved a very real enemy, an enemy who wanted to thwart God's plan, but in reality was a vital part of God's plan. I've heard some tragic stories about some of the most influential ungodly leaders of the last century, how that they had some familiarity with the gospel, and instead of finding a purpose in the kingdom of God, they found a purpose outside of the kingdom of God, because they didn't necessarily find that culture of love that is supposed to be indicative of the body of Christ. Love your enemies, those who are hostile to you. And so that's what he says, do good to those who hate you. Do good means to do what is correct, what is right, and what is commendable. And we're not only supposed to do that on our own, but we're supposed to do that to those who don't have our best interests at heart. They don't want to have anything to do with us. The word that best describes their relationship, their attitude and inclination towards us is hatred. They hate us. And he says, do what is right, even when you are dealing with people who hate you. It's easy to do what is right when there's not any real pressure to do wrong. But the world operates from a vindictive positioning. Sometimes they operate from preventative vindictiveness. And that means I'm going to do to them before they can do unto me. But Jesus commands believers to do good, not just to those who are like them, not just to do good in the house of God, but to do good to those who want to thwart God's plan and don't want to have anything to do with believers. I will tell you this. When I was in sales, they said just because a person says no doesn't mean that they've rejected it. It may mean that they just don't have the right information. And I can tell you this, that there are a lot of people that I know that rejected the gospel at one point in time who are now passionate about God because they just hadn't come to the right time yet. There are some notable celebrities who have been hostile towards faith that when all of a sudden the culture of unrighteousness collapses upon itself, all of a sudden they're looking for people, and many of those people are saying, I remember hearing about Jesus, and they're finding that the principles of the kingdom of God stand up and are there to help a person, not just during the best seasons of their life, but during the most challenging seasons of their life as well. So he goes on and he says, bless those who curse you. And the word there is eulogize. It is in my understanding, it is the opposite of what it means to blaspheme, where blaspheme means to speak evil about someone. To bless means to speak well of someone. Blaspheme means I hope you have a miserable, ungodly end. To speak well of or to eulogize means to speak in a manner that is going to result in positive circumstances for the person you're speaking to. God wants us to set people up to succeed. Now, there is power in your words. You can either use your words to absolutely crush and demoralize a person, or you can use your words to bring healing, to bring hope, to bring joy. The power of life and death is in the tongue. And so we need to make sure that we are using our mouth to sow seeds, to speak well of the kingdom of God. And it says that we are supposed to bless those who curse us. And that means that they have a desire for us to experience misfortune. So there are some reckless things that go around in the body of Christ. And the enemy loves to exploit it whenever we say things about those who are not in agreement with us. They love to exploit those things. Now here's what I will tell you. They recognize that we have a higher standard to live to than they do. They do not see any hypocrisy in their own life whenever they do not whenever they speak bad about their enemies or speak badly about those who they don't want anything good to come to. There's no hypocrisy there because it is aligned with their inconsistent standards of righteousness. But when believers who are called not just to speak the message, not just to live the life, but to operate from the same nature that God has for us, when they see us say things or hear us say things that are looking for other people's demise, a disastrous outcome, or even worse, you know, well, I'm trying to think of a tactful way of saying, you know, some of the things that people have said, and I just can't think of one. We need to realize that Jesus died for people. People are not the enemy. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. They're the prize. And even though the enemy may speak hostily to you, whenever you respond, whenever you're proactive, not just reactive, and you speak kindness to a person who's been, you know, pretty ugly to you, that may be the seed of the gospel that brings that person to faith in Jesus Christ. I had a person one time tell me, there's a reason why I moved from being hostile towards God to being a believer. And it was because, they said, I saw you live out the gospel, not just preach it. So make sure that your mouth doesn't get you into trouble. Make sure that you use your mouth as an instrument of healing, an instrument to sow seeds of the gospel into people's lives so that they will come to faith in him. And so this life of love means that if someone attacks us, we don't attack them back. If someone steals from us, I'm not encouraging that. Not, you know, I had a person that said something one time, and it's like, well, no, that's not an option. You know, not everybody treats believers well, but for you and I, things are not what define us. Our relationship with God is what defines us. If we're living repentant and living in faith, that's what we're known for. Our stuff is just tools. And, you know, when I think of this passage, I'm reminded of a very cold day when I was driving to the church. And it was actually, I wish I'd grabbed my heavier jacket. It was that cold that morning. And as I was driving down the road, I was wearing a jacket that I had just received from my mother. I had received it at Christmas time, and she passed away in March. I don't remember if it was the same year she passed away or if it was the next year. But there was a guy who was walking down the street. He was in shorts. All he had was a short sleeve shirt on, and I will never forget, it was so cold that he had taken his arms and he had stuffed them down inside of his sweatpants, his shorts that he had on, and that was how he was trying to keep his hands warm. And I stopped and I said, would you like a jacket? And he said, yes. And I took off my jacket. And when I handed it to him, this is what I said. I want you to take very good care of this jacket. This jacket may be just a jacket to you, but it's the last Christmas gift I ever got from my mother. And I want you to have it. You need it right now more than I. Now, that left me without a jacket for that day, but it was just a temporary thing. Because stuff is just stuff unless you put it into the hands of God and use it to minister to people. And folks, I can tell you, we are called to act the way that Jesus wants us to act. And how people respond to that is between them and God the Holy Spirit. We have blessed people we never heard from again. We've opened up our home. This goes way, way back. Even when we didn't have much of a home ourselves, we were ministering to hurting people. And some of those people, I don't know how it ended up for them later on, but I do know this, that their initial response to this, to the things we had given up to minister to them, was not a response that would make you feel warm and fuzzy. They were sinners. Don't be surprised when sinners act like sinners. But you and I, we need to be willing to say, God, everything I have is yours. And for me, I've discovered this, that if I will be a conduit that God can use to bless others, he is going to bless me exceedingly abundantly above all that I can ask or think or imagine. God will not be a debtor to any person. You and I, we need to love as if we are going to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. That we need to be willing to speak words of life in a culture that is hostile to the things of God. We need to realize that we're in enemy territory. We're in the kingdom of darkness, to transform it into the kingdom of light. Because Jesus is not looking for good people. He's looking for dead people whom he can make alive. And so you and I pray that we will do just what Jesus said here. We will love not only those who are easy to love, but we will love the difficult to love, because they deserve to know about Jesus as well. God bless you. You have a great day. Happy birthday to Greg, and happy birthday to David, and pray that y'all have a great day. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow here on the Refresh radio program.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merit Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
Whalen Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is a friendly, knowledgeable, active, and accessible real estate agent here in Brevard County. Keller Williams is known for real estate services all across the world, and Whalen specializes in helping buyers purchase the right place to call home, as well as helping sellers market and negotiate the sale of their single-family home, condo, vacant land, or business. Whalen Duff can be reached at 321-536-5973 or visit whalenduff.kw. Whalen Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is your local realtor who provides all you need and the time you deserve to get your real estate purchased or sold.